Well, Brother Gene, it's fitting that you mentioned that or had us to sing that one part of that chorus again, because we're going to talk a little bit tonight about no power of hell and there's no scheme of man. There's a lot of that, but it cannot pluck me from his hand.
Yeah.
That is a good and blessed truth to remember. Well, y'all glad you're here tonight?
Amen. Yeah.
It's good to be here fellowshipping with the Lord's people. Well, we are going to talk a little bit tonight about the subject of deception, the power of hell and the scheme of man, a little bit, just so that we can be on guard, because we're not going to escape it. It's around us, but it would be good if we got a little heads up for what's coming down the pike, or at least what is already here. So that's going to be kind of our subject matter this evening. But before we look at it, why don't we just take another brief occasion to pray. Our Father, Lord, we thank you that you are our great and God, our God and our Creator, and you made us. You made us for yourself. We thank you that you're also our Father. You care for us, that you love us, that you're so kind, and we thank you for your many kindnesses to us this day, even this evening, that we could be here and hang out with each other and to sing your praises and to fellowship with you. Lord, give us open hearts and open ears to understand what you want us to know from your word. In the name of your Son, who is the Word, I ask. Amen.
Amen.
Well, last week, we kind of tackled the subject of witches, wizards, and the Word of God. It seemed like there was a little bit of intrigue about that. It's kind of around us in our society, something we don't often talk about in church. And tonight, we're going to talk about deception, and I'm going to kind of build a little bit on kind of what we began last week. Now, when you think of the arena of magic, whether it is a real power, and some of it is, or whether it is illusion, in magic, there is an element of deception. You have the illusionist, the sleight of hand, and the hand is quicker than the eye. And sometimes there is real power behind the magic, but sometimes it's just powerful illusion. And there is some intended deception when you think of the area of magic. There is a sorcerer mentioned in the New Testament. We mentioned him last week. Acts chapter 13. Verses of 6 to 10, his name was Elymas, the sorcerer. He was also known as Bar-Jesus. Not the real Jesus, but he was Bar-Jesus. But the Apostle Paul kind of had his fill of him. And he said that this Elymas, this sorcerer, this magician, he said was full of all kinds of trickery and deceit. It just kind of goes hand in hand with that. There's some trickery, there's deceit, there's deception. It just kind of goes along with the arena of magicians, magic, wizards, and the kind of things that we talked about last week. Now, there was a question last week, I think maybe Margaret asked us, about, when thinking about magic and wizards and stuff, that what is the proper exposure? Should we expose our kids to this stuff? I mean, if it's around us, it's in popular culture, it's in the movies around us, we got the Ouija boards, we got all the stuff, And so how much is okay for our kids to be exposed to it? And I would say, again, I don't think there's a right answer to that question. I think parents can answer it in a different way. But I'm just going to start off by saying this, that regardless how you answer that question in your own family, you need to beware of deception. Because deception and the deceiver is out all around us, seeking whom he may destroy and seeking whom he may deceive. And we, you've got to remember that we are always or generally on our guard against the obvious. Scary witches, black magic, have you ever seen some of these movies and some of these incantations? I mean, that stuff is obvious and out there. Nothing is being hid. And so I, you know, I'm on my guard against that. I can see it for what it is because it's just right out there in the open. I don't know if you've seen some of these Disney movies, and man, some of the witches and wizards in that, and they portray them. I mean, it'll scare the living daylights out of you. Well, when it's portrayed like that, I get it. I know what they're talking about. I know where they're coming from. And so I can be on guard against that. But what about the cute little fairy godmother and Cinderella? A little bit dingy, you know, got her magic wand, bibbidi-bobbidi-boo, and you know, when it comes to us like that, it's like, my guard's not up. I mean, that's just a sweet little fairy godmother. You know, when Julie Andrews comes flying down with her little, with her umbrella to take care of the kids, and, you know, and supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, you know, and we're not on our guard against that. And so when you think about being deceived, in my own mind, I think the magic and witchcraft stuff, it is more deceptive when it comes in that form because our guard is not up. I'm more easily bewitched by the television show and the, you know, that because it doesn't look the part. It looks okay. It looks fine. So somebody look up Isaiah chapter 5 and verse number 20. And I think just when we think about deception, we got to remember this one element. Isaiah 5 and verse 20. Somebody got it there?
Woe to those who can call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter.
Okay, well, woe to those who do the old switcheroo. You put good for evil and evil for good. You put light for darkness and darkness for light. You put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. It's the old sleight of hand. You just kind of switch them up a little bit, and when it's switched up, you can become deceived because you don't see it for what it is. In our society, the anti-hero is very prominent. You know what the anti-hero is? It's the bad guy who now becomes the good guy. So y'all know who this is?
Spider-Man.
Well, it kind of looks like Spider-Man. This is Deadpool. Y'all know who Deadpool is? Yeah. Suicide Squad? Ever heard of Suicide Squad? You know this one, Robin Hood, right? Robin Hood's a good guy who's a thief that steals. Is he a good guy or is he a bad guy? Ant-Man? And the Guardians of the Galaxy? These thieves that are really the protectors of the galaxy? The thieves, they go around stealing and causing mayhem and all that. But they're the good guys, you know, and so, just to be aware, and hey, I enjoy all that kind of stuff. I enjoy why it's good entertainment. But in that entertainment, there is a deception of the old switcheroo. The good becomes bad, the bad becomes good, the bitter becomes sweet, and all the lines become blurred. And so you can no longer determine, oh, this is good, and this is, because it's all mismatched together, and so in it, there's a deception. There's a blurred line. It's like going back to witchcraft. You go, the Wizard of Oz. There's the Wicked Witch of the West and the Good Witch of the East. Is there any such thing in a biblical framework of a good witch? Yeah. No. Hey, I get the Wicked Witch of the West. She's wicked. But I'm more apt to be deceived by the Good Witch of the East. Okay. And so I think that is how deception comes in. And so we just need, as Christians, we need to have a right frame of thinking that we look at that and say, hey, you know, what is the sleight of hand here? What is the old switcheroo? Are they switching things up? And so to be aware of deception. And we're going to look at a text tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 to 15. This is kind of a good overall text in this to kind of give us a thought. And again, this is open for discussion or question or y'all want to explore some of this. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 to 15. Again, I'm reading the New International Version. For such people are false apostles. Apostles like Peter, Paul, I mean, they're false apostles. They're deceitful workers masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness, and their end will be what their actions deserve. Here, three different times in this, I think these three verses, it talks about masquerading, or some of your translations, they say they transform themselves. It's this word, metaschemazo. Meta is I guess Greek, like for change. You have a metamorphosis. It's kind of a complete change, right? This is a metaschemazo. It's the scheme. It's not the whole person that's changed. It's just the scheme that's changed. It's the form that's changed. That's why in the NIV it's a masquerade. It's a mask. It's like you go to a masquerade bar. You're dressing up as somebody that you're not. Well, here the scripture tells us that there are people all around, Satan included, that put on a mask, that are out trying to deceive us and just have this change of form. And Lucifer, his name literally means light. He's an angel of light, an extremely beautiful creature. And yet, well, what's the picture? I think of Satan, like this red dragon with the pitchfork and tail and this ugly kind of creature, you know. And if I see that, boom, I got it, right? I mean, that's him, right? I mean, that's the serpent, that's the, you know. But he comes at me as an angel of light. The fact that there's a TV show, I've seen it advertised, I never watched it, it's called Lucifer. And young males seen that? But anyway, I guess there's this character, and he's just some hunk, some good-looking dude, you know, and I don't know if he's really the devil or it's just his name, I have no. But you know, that's right. That's how the devil comes. The devil looks good. He's an angel of light, and he portrays himself in a good way. He's a deceiver. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9 and Revelation 20 and verse 10. One of the things that Satan, the devil, our old enemy, he deceives the whole world. He masquerades and he looks beautiful. He looks good. It is tantalizing. This is good. It's not the red suit and pitchfork. We get that. The deception is the angel of light. And also, notice, what does his people look like? Masquerading as angel of light, verse 15. It's not surprising then if his servants, Satan's guys, what do they look like? Masquerading as servants of righteousness. Okay, now, who are Satan's guys? Is this the ones at the Church of Satan having the black mass and, you know, doing all that kind of stuff? I mean, I'm sure October we're going to be coming up on Halloween. It's probably going to be some of that stuff. But is that Satan's guys, you know? I mean, the ones trying to put the satanic monument there in Arkansas. Is that it? The deception is that they are ministers of righteousness. Now, as a preacher, I'm going to say something. Beware of the preachers. Satan's guys are the preachers. They are in the pulpit. Okay, I mean, over and over again, we are warned in Scripture, you got to beware of the false prophet. And he doesn't say, I'm a false prophet. I'm going to try to get you to not believe. And no. They come in and they're the false teachers, but they're masquerading. They look the part. They sound the part. But we got to beware of deception because those are Satan's guys, you know. And that's why I say test me, because man, it's the guys up here that are trying to deceive, and you know. So we're not to be gullible. Let me just read a few here. Matthew 24. This Matthew 24. Verses 4 and 5. And this is not a small problem that we're to be worried about or be look out for. This is something that's big. You know, not just every now and again. Now, Jesus says in Matthew 24, beginning in verse 4, Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Be on your guard. Don't watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name." They're going to come, "I am a Christian," in the name of Christ, saying, "I'm the Messiah. I'm anointed. I'm the guy. You can listen to me. You can trust me. I'm the anointed one," and will deceive many. It comes from the preachers. It comes from the pulpit. Go down to verse 10 and 11. He says it again. "At that time, many will turn away from the faith and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people." I mean, the problem, you know, outside the church, we can see it. But it's when it's inside, that's when the deception becomes great. And that's when our perception needs to be at a really high pitch. Let me just read one more. 2 Peter 2:1-4. There's several of these. Just to beware of the preachers. And I'm saying that even though I are one.
Well, you're looking for that. Just on Facebook about an hour ago, I saw where Andy Stanley, I don't know if you all know who he is, he's Charles Stanley's son, just announced that we are not to believe the Ten Commandments.
What?
That the two commandments over in the New Testament override the Old Testament. And this was the first time that he's gone against the Old Testament.
Yeah, he's had some other things on, I think, on biblical inspiration and things that, you know, make... Kind of question him. Very, very popular, very good orator, and I don't know him, but beware of them all. Again, the only authority for our life and faith is this. The Southern Baptist Convention is not the authority. I am not the authority. The Pope is not the authority. Everybody's a failed men. I mean, this morning, we're all sinners. The scripture is the final authority. And we gotta be on guard that just because they're a famous preacher, it doesn't mean we can swallow everything they're dishing out. There can be some cyanide in there. Look at 2 Peter 1, and let me just read these first four verses. Again, there's quite a few of these. But just to kind of give you a flavor of what the New Testament says. "There were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you." It's going to be there. "They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. Reproot. Is that how you say that? Reproot? I don't know. "But in their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories." They're always got a good story to tell. They can really give a good yarn. "But their condemnation has been long hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping." There's lots and lots of warnings. The first two verses of 1 Timothy 4. Our Lord warned in Matthew 7:15. Beware, they're going to be false prophets, and they are what? Wolves in sheep's clothing. They're a wolf, but they're dressed up as a minister of righteousness. They're the most holy, right, reverend. They're got the biggest ministry. That's what they look like. And when they look like that, our guard isn't enough, and so we're more apt to be deceived by the false prophet because he looks like the real prophet. One more. Look at Acts 20. Let me just read a few verses here. Verses 27 and following. Here the Apostle Paul, he's fixing to leave this body of believers. And he says, I haven't hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. I didn't keep anything back. I gave you the whole thing. But he says, keep watch over yourselves and over all the flock, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. For I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning you night and day with tears. Here the Apostle Paul had the same recurring message for 3 years with these people. Watch out for the false teachers. Watch out for the deception that's going to come within the church. It's going to rise up in the church. I'll give you a testimony, something that I remember. I mean, y'all know I grew up in church. I remember being a kid in a Sunday school class. I could tell you my Sunday school teacher's name. I was taught in that class to tear out the book of Esther from my Bible in a Southern Baptist church here in Oklahoma City. And that was it wasn't just a one-time thing. You just need to get Esther and you just rip that out of the Bible. God is not mentioned in that. You just need to tear that out of the Bible. They said, what? God's name isn't mentioned there. So you just need to get rid of it. Now, for a little kid, and you know, you got my teachers telling me this, and I mean, there's parts of the Bible I shouldn't believe. You see how that works? And that didn't come from the skeptic. I didn't have to grow up and, you know, go to college and get the professor and, you know, and all, you know, trying to check my faith. No, I'm a little kid sitting in Sunday school class. You know, I mean, so deception, you know, remember that it comes to us in a deceiving way. It's in the church. And so we always have to be on our guard. Beware of the preachers. Okay. Beware of the teachers. Beware, you know, and that's why we, you know, and we'll talk a little bit, even our self-deceived, we can be self-deceived. You know, because we are sinners. Before we move on, anything y'all want to add to that? You've heard one testimony of a prominent preacher, and I told you my Sunday school teacher. But all right, well, okay. Another way of deception, being deceived by lesser powers. We were talking about wizards and stuff last week. Remember the Egyptian magicians and wizards, and they were able to duplicate what Moses did. I mean, they could turn their rod into a snake and water into blood, and they could produce frogs, right? Now, we still have that in our Disney shows. I mean, it's the guy becomes a frog, or the prince becomes a frog. You know, I mean, we still got magicians trying to do things with frogs. But it is a lesser power. What God did is he had the whole land team with frogs. And so deceivers will come in with a little bit of what God does and say, look, I got the power. You know, I can make a frog. Well, God made millions of frogs. In fact, he made every frog, but they'll deceive you with a little bit of a lesser power. There's one that I'm intrigued with. You know, there's a magician that can walk on water. Have you ever seen this dude walk on water? Huh?
I haven't seen it, but I've heard.
You know, I don't know if he goes into this trance or whatever, I've seen it, I think, a time or two. And he'll walk all the way across the swimming pool. Pretty amazing. People, wow! The dude walks across the swimming pool. And he did. I take it he really walked across the swimming pool. Now, when Jesus walked across the water, let's see, he went across the Sea of Galilee in a storm and brought his buddy along with him for a little bit. You see, there's a big difference between the magician walking across the swimming pool. Look at my power, believe me, you know what? And when the Almighty God does it. There's a deception by having a little bit of power, saying, look, and they'll try to deceive you with a little bit of power, even though they don't have all power. In fact, just recently, there was a picture of the French president, Macron, they had him on the cover of a magazine, walking on water, saying, here he is, the savior of Europe. The savior of Europe. Mm-hmm. Walking on water. But, Jesus is the savior of the world. He goes way beyond Europe. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just so there's a deception of just having, they have a little bit of power. But remember, they don't have all power. You know, we worship the God with all power. And we need to be on guard on this because there's going to be great signs. But I do want to read this one back in Matthew 24. Our Lord tells us that there will come a time that there is going to be great signs and wonders, but we're not to be deceived just because somebody has some power, just because they can walk on water, just because they can make a frog, or whatever the, you know, of whatever the deal is. Matthew 24, look at verses 23 to 25. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Messiah, or there he is, do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I told you ahead of time. Our Lord has already told us that there will be a time coming and that there will be guys that will have great power. In fact, the deception will be so great that even believers, man, are you sure this isn't true? I mean, maybe this is real. I mean, look at this power that they're doing great signs and wonders. The book of Revelation talks about it. They can call fire down from heaven and, I mean, do all sorts of amazing, amazing things. And he says the deception would be so great, it could even hoodwink the believers. It says if it were possible. And I hope you get that. There is such assurance in the if it were possible. You know, it's not possible for a true believer to be deceived. He won't let us be deceived. Not the power of Satan or the scheme of man can snatch me out of his hand. If Jesus got you, he got you for good and he's got you for eternity, and he will keep you from being deceived. In and of myself, I'd be deceived. But we have security, not because I'm holding on so tight to Jesus, but because he's holding on so tight to me. And even though the deceptions are great, a true believer cannot be fully and finally deceived. They just can't be. Because God the Father won't let it, God the Son won't let it, God the Holy Spirit won't let it happen. This woman, so we are secure even in times of this great powerful deception. Am I losing y'all? Y'all seem real. Yes.
Well, I was just wanting you to speak a little bit more about that in the sense of that they cannot be deceived, but how of that in a sense.
Well, I would say that he keeps us. Jude talks about, he says, now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling. And so, and to present you faultless before his throne. And so, part of the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, he's our guarantee. You know, God the Father, God the Son gives us the Holy Spirit as our guarantee of what is to come. It's the down payment. And so we're going to get eternity and we're going to get eternal life because we have the Spirit. And the Spirit, I says, will keep us. I mean, it's not that we don't stumble and fall and maybe for a time being deceived. It's like a true believer can fall into sin for a while, but the Holy Spirit won't leave him there.
We
can't leave him there.
Lose our salvation. Yeah. We have it.
You know, and so, once Jesus has you, he keeps you. He says he will not lose one. There is not one believer that he will ever lose. Not one person. And even though the deception is great and sin is great and everything's falling, yeah, he says, you know, that's why it's not possible to totally deceive the elect. Again, not because we're so smart, but because he's got us. And so that's our assurance. You know, our assurance, you know, if my assurance was me, you know, I'm a goner tomorrow because I'm weak. But my assurance is the Almighty One who said, I've got you in the palm of my hand. I'm not going to let you go. Nobody can snatch you out of my hand. You know, Satan can't do it. The schemes of man can't do it. They can't deceive me out of heaven because the Holy Spirit's got me. Just to move kind of a little bit, someone look up 1 Corinthians 15:33, another kind of deception. This is a good one for us all to remember. Somebody read 1 Corinthians 15:33.
Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals.
Okay. This I might call a friendship deception. Now, can we be deceived by our friends? Oh, yeah. I used to like to listen to a band called Bad Company. Y'all know Bad Company? Yeah. Bad Company. Yeah. Anyway, but bad company corrupts good character. Now, we can be so deceived that, oh, my friend, it doesn't make a lick who my friends are. Now, that's a deception. Because if all of my friends are the bad guys, then guess what I'm going to be? I'm going to be a bad guy. Because it has a corrupting influence. It just does. And so the scripture says, don't be deceived in this. Missionary dating. You know, oh boy, he's great, or she's just awesome, they're not a believer, but you know, we're going to win him up. No, don't go there. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good character. Or some translations say it's bad conversation, or corrupt conversation. You know, so maybe the way we talk or who we're listening to, you know, how they talk. But it has a corrupting influence. Yeah, do what?
So you can hold yourself in bondage by the higher time.
I didn't hear that.
You can hold yourself in bondage better.
Yeah, it
come out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm, that is true. Yeah. Our words can
destroy us or make us better.
Yeah, our words. The scripture says that the tongue has the power of life and death. You know, we can be built up or we can be torn down just simply by the words we say or the words we're listening to. You know, who is it that we're getting counsel from? You know, blessed are those who don't take counsel from the ungodly. You know, because you take counsel from the ungodly, it's gonna corrupt you. You know, you gotta have those good inputs, what about this one? Someone read Romans 16:17-18. This is a divisional deception. And this is good for the church, because the church is ever getting fights. I have seen a lot of church fights. Things happen, and man, the division is on. When a division starts in a church, okay, beware of deception. Somebody, okay, Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. Somebody want to read that one?
I will.
Okay.
Romans
16:17.
I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. For such people are not serving of our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. Is that all of it?
Yeah, one will buy.
By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people.
Okay, so divisions in church, how does it happen? People come in, and it says by smooth talk and by flattery, they deceive the minds of the naive. They come in, boy, they're smooth talkers. And they get this group and get that group, or you know. And so whenever there's division in a church, you can be assured there is deception in the church somewhere. Somebody's being deceived. And so we don't be deceived. You know, don't be deceived whenever there's division. And in fact, the scripture says that there has to be heresies among you. In fact, there has to be division, because it ends up showing who's on the right side. You know, eventually the masks come off, you know, and eventually you'll kind of get to see. But in the process, there is some deception. We're kind of running on out of time here. Let me just mention a few more. There's doctrinal deception, the deception about teaching. I've got someone read 2 John 7, a little big book right towards the end. 2 John 7 about being deceived. Part of being in the church and being discipled and growing up in our faith is so that we're not deceived by every wind of doctrine that comes along. Because, man, there's a lot of teachings floating around out there. And so, you know, that's why we need each other, and we need to be in the church so that we can kind of be on our guard and be aware when you got these funky teachings. It's like, is that right? You mean this preacher is saying that I don't have to do the Ten Commandments, and they're just, you know, and you mean my Sunday school teacher says, don't read Esther, just read it, you know? Well, you know, if we're together and we kind of know the truth, then it'll help us get some of those deceptions. This is a big deception. 2 John 7. Who's got it? 2 John, it's just a little bitty verse and a little bitty book.
Many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh have gone out into the world Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist.
Okay. The scripture says that there's an antichrist coming, but it says there's many antichrists out there. Many deceivers have gone out into the world, and he says, here's how you peg them. They deny that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Okay. They deny that God became flesh and dwelt among us. That Jesus Christ is coming again bodily. You get people that deny those two teachings, you have antichrist. That's it. You deny the virgin birth or the virgin conception, and you deny that, that is antichrist. Boy, that is everywhere in the church. Isn't it? I mean, people to deny the virgin birth. If you deny Jesus Christ coming in the flesh, God becoming flesh, don't be deceived. That's antichrist. Okay, and there's we're going to run out of time here, but that's just doc. Don't be deceived doctrinally, and that's why it's good to yes, sir.
You know, people talk about. I've heard in the past say that it's the same God. We pray the same God, Muslim and Islam. Mm-hmm. When you walk into the Temple Mount, you go underneath the door. That across the door says, "Muhammad, God." Mm-hmm. Was not begotten and has not begotten.
That's right.
Son. And you have to walk under that door to go into the Temple Mount.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, mm-hmm. it ain't the same God.
No, that is not the same. And that's right. There is a deception that all religions are the same. We all worship the same God. No. All the gods of the nations are idols. Back to they worship. I mean, scripture says they're demons. And there's real powers behind it. They're just demonic. There's only one true and living God. And on that Dome of the Rock, there's just, it's an announcement to all the people of the book as Christians that God does not have a son. And I mean, they deny this. And Islam is Antichrist. Well, not the Antichrist, but it is. It is Antichrist, along with many others. Because they deny that. There is sin deception and a self-deception. Let me just mention a couple of these. We're running out of time. 1 John 1:8, if anyone says they do not have no sin, they deceive themselves. Mm-hmm. If someone thinks they're all right and not a sinner, they are self-deceived. We kind of talked a little bit about that this morning. Galatians 6:3 says, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Boy, I'm a hot shot. I'm all that and everything else. If someone thinks that, they're deceived. If someone thinks they can sin and get away with it, but the scripture says in Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that's what he'll reap. Does anybody ever get away with anything?
No.
No. Don't be deceived. I'm going to get away with it. Nobody going to see. No, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived at all. In fact, 2 Timothy 3:13 talks about those who are deceiving and being deceived. You know, those who are out deceiving are more apt to be deceived. Proverbs 17:4 says a liar is more apt to believe lies. You know, so you don't want to go that route because you start deceiving people and then you're setting yourself up. Well, then I'm going to be deceived myself. Because don't be deceived. God's not mocked. What you sow, you're going to reap. Don't be deceived. And let me end on these. There's quite a few of these here. And this is a salvation deception. Of all the deceptions there are, I think the most cruel one is for someone thinks they are saved. Mm-hmm. And they are not. Okay. And there is a bunch of these in the Bible. Let me just read this, and just let the just listen to what the scripture says. 1 Corinthians 6:9 Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, or men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor greedy, or drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. That is what some of you were. I mean, we were all some of that, right? That's what some of you were, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. But don't be deceived. Okay? You know, and there is, I think there is a great deception in the church that says people can, quote, come to faith and not be changed. That is a deception. Don't be deceived. You know, Jesus will take you as you are, but he will not leave you as you are. You know, I mean, and so don't be deceived. Ephesians 5, let me just read a couple of these. Ephesians 5, verses 5 to 7. And again, this is, for you can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Don't be deceived that you can be a Christian and live in sin. We can't. In fact, John tells us in 1 John, it's impossible for those that are born of God. The Holy Spirit won't let you if you have the Spirit of God. Again, he takes us as we are. We don't have to turn over a new leaf and try to clean up a little bit. God takes you as you are in all of our depravity. But then he gives us the Holy Spirit and he changes us. He makes us born again. And that change is necessary. And if that change never happens, do not be deceived. Read a couple in James. James has a way of putting it this way. James 1, 22. James 1, 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. You know, don't be just hearers of the word. You've got to be doers of the word. If you just hear the word and you don't do it, that's deception. You're deceived thinking you can just hear the sermon and you don't live out the sermon. You don't practice what the priest. And that goes for the preacher or the person that hears. James 1:26. Those who consider themselves religious and have not kept a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves and their religion is worthless. Oh, I'm a Christian, but my tongue tells the truth about me, right? I mean, it just does. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. And like I said, there's a whole bunch of these. You know what our Lord said? Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. I tell you the truth that on that day, many will come to me and say, but Lord, didn't we do this in your name and in your name do that? And I was a creator and I did all of these things. And he says, I will tell them plainly, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew. They were deceived. They said, Lord, Lord. I walked the aisle and signed the card when I was 6 years old. They got me all wet. Not changed a lick in my life. But I'm in, right? Don't be deceived. Do not be deceived. You know, Jesus says, he who has my word and keeps it, he is my disciple indeed. In fact, in the, we'll just end on this one. In fact, it was on our bulletin today. If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciple. And very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. But if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. You know, that's what salvation is. Salvation, we don't earn it. He gives it to us. And we're slaves to sin, but the Son comes in and he sets us free from sin. If we haven't been set free, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Like I said, our time is out. Any questions, comments on just a little bit on deception? Like I said, covered kind of a wide swath of there, a lot of things to be deceived in. But I'm going to say, beware of me. Beware of the preacher. If nothing else, I don't want to belabor the point. So why don't we close with a word of prayer, and then if we want to talk some more, talk some more, we can. Our Father, we thank you for your word that warns us by your mercy and by your grace. Lord, apply this to our hearts and minds so that we can be on guard against the enemy of our souls who is seeking to deceive us in one way or another. But Lord, we thank you that you keep us. And we thank you that we are safely secure in your grasp. In the name of your Son, I thank you. Amen.